Abundant Life Foursquare Church presents to you a message of hope, grace, and power of Jesus. We trust that you will be inspired by the Word of God as we grow together in Christ.
We're reminded, Lord God, of why we're here. And as we open up your Word, Lord, and prepare to receive what, Lord, would be a message, a time of study, Lord, thank you that you will help us to grow closer, Lord, to you. Gain more understanding about what all this is about, and that, Lord, we don't lose sight of why we're even here. So again, thank you, Jesus, for your blessing and for your superintending over our service, Lord, over so much in our lives. I was just thinking, Lord, be with Lowe's in Port Orchard. Lord, a lot's gone on there, and there's a number of families and homes that are struggling. We've been praying. We're so thankful to hear of how well things are being taken care of. And again, we thank you, Jesus. You're such an amazing Lord. We love you, Lord God. We really do. In Jesus' name, amen?
Amen.
Well, a lot's going on. Who would ever thought that we were going to be praying for Rescue Port Orchard? That's just crazy to think about all that's taken place. And so thankful we... You know, one of the things we did right away is we called, we have about 142 families that are out in that area, and we identified about 22 families that were around that area, and we called every one of them or made contact to make sure, are you okay? And you should have heard this story. Everyone was okay. We heard a couple stories of just God's miracle where like one person was saying, I was about ready to go to Walmart, and I was 10 minutes away from the tornado, and something just spoke inside of me, don't go. You know, kind of went outside, looked at it, and then hesitated and went back. And the thought that she shared was, I'll just wait and go later. Can you submit to that? I mean, you just see the work of the Lord in our lives, and he just guard and protect us. And in this situation, that was a clear, I'm just not going to go right now, and could have. But again, we heard a couple stories specifically like that someone else had shared. They were actually on the road driving to Walmart and decided to make a change in direction, just made, I think it was a left or right turn, and just enough to go the other way, the tornado hit, and then was unable to go to Walmart because that was the plan and had to change that whole kind of plans for the day. Again, God's protection. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
We hear about that all the time. I mean, that's how God works in our lives. Sometimes we think and we forget to think about how powerful those moments are because God speaks to us and really almost every day. I mean, you think about it, there are opportunities and moments that we sometimes assign to, and I've heard things, well, you know, it was just a happenstance or maybe just a thought or whatever. And yet, if you just take a step back, you realize God just did an amazing, miraculous thing. And we should be thankful for that. Can you say amen to that? Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1. You know, today I want to remind you, we do have the getting ready for our Operation Christmas Blessing. It's in the back of your bulletin, so I won't say a lot. But be sure to read it. There's about 75 more cards that we still need filled out to say thank you, we love you, to our military. And again, remind you, we're going out on Christmas morning, and they're going to be just sharing God's love out there and let all those men and women know we appreciate them. So if you haven't done a card yet, there's an opportunity for you to do that. In Matthew chapter 1 and actually Luke chapter 1, we're really looking at parallel passages of really something that's all kind of taking place at the same time. And that's why I thought about, we have experienced Christmas with a number of different individuals and moments. You know, the last week was the shepherds and the angels, and now, I mean, what could be better than on Christmas Sunday spending Christmas with Mary and Joseph? Can you say amen to that? And so we're going to take a moment just to talk and look at this amazing. Now, we've read already, if you hadn't noticed, Matthew chapter 1. And we looked at that as we were discussing and getting ready for our amazing four Advent candles. So we have looked at the passage here. Oh, I forgot something. There we go. And so what we're looking at here is, again, a quick reminder. A lot of us hopefully know the story. If you're new in the faith, This is a very important study to remember just what all takes place here. And of course, we're talking about here in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And again, we've looked at it, but a quick review. This is the birth of Jesus Christ, and then discuss how it follows. Now, you got to realize that this is a pretty miraculous thing. And when you think about this birth, you think of all that took place. I mean, this is a very powerful statement, and we've looked at this over the years a lot of different ways. But in terms of looking at Joseph, I think Joseph is an absolutely amazing individual. I mean, I just can't imagine what it would have been like to be Joseph and getting all excited and getting ready for this upcoming wedding. I mean, he was planning on a regular, normal wedding, and it's kind of like at this time, and we're going to look at Joseph in a moment, but at this time, we're going to see that his life is literally going to be turned upside down. I mean, he's thinking, I'm going to have, you know, the family's going to get together, right? He's made all the plans, and they've talked to the rabbi, you know, they've talked to the wedding planner, and, you know, they got everything kind of set up. They've ordered the cake, and all the reception stuff is ready to go. I mean, you got to realize, back at this time, a wedding was a huge community event. This wasn't something like, I mean, today, you know, we do weddings, and often they're, you know, pretty amazing. I mean, you realize what, you know what the average cost for a wedding is right now across the country? Depends upon which statistic you read, but it's now approaching, it's about $23,000. So, no, am I wrong? Oh, okay. Well, okay, only spent three. That's good. Praise God. And the other 20 will come later. But it can be very expensive. I love the fact that we can obviously manage it very well. And if you watch how you do it. Because the wedding isn't about, I mean, I don't know. All you have to do, though, is watch, what's that show, Yes to the Dress? Right? How many of you have ever watched that, right? Isn't that amazing? I mean, there's the overkill of, you know, what that is, you know, that's not what a wedding really is about. But still, Joseph was thinking, this is going to be great. I can't wait to get married, and family's excited, and his, you know, future bride comes and says, yeah, well, I'm pregnant. And he's going, what? And again, I just, you know, I mean, what do you do when, you know, your future wife says, yeah, and by the way, it's by the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's kind of rough, right? I mean, Joseph is hearing this and going, and so this is an excuse, or, I mean, what are you saying? I mean, and so immediately Joseph is thinking, like any one of us, this isn't right, and this isn't who I am. And there's something about, I think, what we see in Joseph, because what I see, God wants us, when it comes to experiencing Christmas, be ready to be surprised by Christmas. You know, it's something that, and of course now I know you're all thinking about, you know, I'm waiting for that surprise gift or that, right? I'm waiting for the surprise. There's going to be a car sitting out there in the driveway. That'll be a great surprise. I'm talking about a lot of other things that God can do that are pretty amazing that God would surprise us with. And you just never know. I mean, again, Joseph didn't expect to end up in a cave. By the way, it was a cave, not really a stable, but in a cave, bringing life to his baby by way of a wife who would conceive by way of the Holy Spirit, and on it goes. I mean, grandma wasn't there, mom and dad were not there, his family wasn't there, and you know, surrounding Joseph and Mary were a bunch of animals and strangers, but yet God was there. And what a surprise for what God would do here. And I think what we're going to see here, and what I see something, and I want to just bring one thing out about Joseph that I think is important, is that when we experience Christmas with Joseph, we're experiencing giving and receiving of God's grace. I think Joseph is learning something here that we need to learn, and that's God's grace. I mean, I know that we appreciate that, but when all of a sudden, you know, the rubber hits the road, I think that's a challenging thing to be graceful and to give God's grace. I mean, if you begin to think about the situations of life and the things that you've said or done in face of those situations, did you provide God's grace there? Did you know of God's grace? And I think that's really challenging. Because Joseph here, I'm convinced his first thought wasn't to be graceful here. I mean, look at the word. I mean, it's pretty clear here. Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secret. Now, you get a lot of information what was going inside his head. I mean, it should be, you should be able to just kind of imagine, like I've already said, Joseph is thinking about all the things that have just happened, and he's confused, he's scared, and he's probably a little bit hurt by this whole thing because he's kind of going, I've never heard of such a thing. And there's something here critical I want you to see, because it says here, and I want to focus on this, being a just man. Sometimes we miss that piece. And you think, what does that mean to be a just man? Now here the Greek is communicating a Hebrew concept, tzadik. Tzadik is the Hebrew concept of righteousness. And at this time, Joseph was being raised, was a man who was raised to be a righteous individual. Now, again, we think about righteousness, but you realize back then, to a Jew, righteousness had to do with how you lived life, how you behaved, the way you thought, how you spoke, how you dressed. I mean, when you begin to look at examples, all you have to do is look at some of the pictures that we see in Israel of the Hasidic Jews, the extreme Orthodox Jews, and you look how they dress differently, they stand out, they behave differently. There is so much, and in their mind, and what they've been taught is tzadik, to be righteous. And everything that they do is to at least somehow communicate the appearance of righteousness, to look like you got it all together. The problem with this kind of righteousness is that it can become rigid, it become legalistic. I mean, it can become something that is quite challenging. So here we have Joseph, who is about ready to have this amazing wedding, and he knows that according to the law, his tzadik, his righteousness, would have demanded, according to Deuteronomy 22, you can read that later, that this was a violation of the marriage agreement. No, he was engaged. It was not, right, technically married. You got to realize back then, engaged is like being married. So there was an illegal, if you will, understanding. There was a contract already taking place. So back then, when you're engaged, it is a really big deal. In other words, just stop being engaged. Just don't break off an engagement. It would be like getting a divorce today. It'd be that kind of idea. So everything was locked in. Everything was going to happen. And so because of what happened and because of what he was told, the Torah has said clearly, she's in violation. And so, you know, the response in Deuteronomy is very harsh. I mean, really, it was death. Not that it was practiced at this time, at least not that we're aware of, but according to the word, so I want to make this point. This was a very big deal. Does that make sense? And so here it is that all of a sudden Joseph has his tzadik, his righteousness, right on the line. See, what I see in Joseph is he is being challenged. What am I going to do? Because my righteousness is very important to me. How I look, the way I live, how I act, everything about what you see is important to me. And I thought, isn't that something that we too can struggle with? That sometimes everything that we want is how we look, how we talk, how we act. And here what I see God doing at this moment is something very powerful. He says right here, being a just man, he did not want to make a public example of her. So he knew he could have done that. And here's the challenge, to provide God's grace when he didn't have to. He had every right to condemn her and convict her. He had every right to kick her out. He had every right to say, no way. How often do we feel like an action has taken place, something has happened, and we feel like, and someone has even said this to me, well, I got a blank check, all I need to do is write it now. Like somehow this gives me the right to go ahead and do whatever I think I can do because of what you just did. You just had an affair. You just did something really bad. And so now I have the right. And that might be correct, but what about God's grace? What about the grace that God has given you that now you may have an opportunity to give to somebody else? This is a challenge to the church today. giving grace and receiving grace. And it's a two-way street. Because I've often thought about how challenging it would be not only to give grace, but also sometimes to receive grace. I mean, hasn't someone been graceful to you and said, hey, it's okay, I forgive you. That's all right, we're moving on. And you go, no, that's too easy. You ever had that feeling or that thought like, you know, this doesn't seem quite right? And I believe that's part of the challenge that we have here. And so what takes place, and if again you look at it, it says, and while he thought about these things, an angel, I mean, this was so important. God sent an angel of the Lord, appeared to him in a dream, and said, don't be afraid. He was afraid, and what was he afraid of? He was afraid of losing his identity. This man had worked hard to live righteously, and it was about ready to blow up. And he was having a hard time, I think, struggling with giving and receiving grace. I've often thought, though, I see Joseph struggling. Why did God wait so long? Because he struggled for a while and then appeared to him in a dream. You ever think about that? I mean, he found out, I mean, the angel should appear right away. Wait, time out. Mary, Joseph, sit down. I'm going to do some counseling here. It's going to be okay. Let me tell you what's going on before you go another step. Instead, Joseph struggled for a while with this whole thing, and then the angel came to him in a dream. This is a bummer. How many of us struggle with things for a while, and then God brings the word or an angel in the dream, and all of a sudden we like, why did I have to go through this struggle so long? Why couldn't we have done this early on? Can you zoom into that? I am all about timing being very quick. We don't want to struggle. We don't want the pain. We don't want the suffering. We don't want to go through all the stuff that happens, and we think, God, okay, you're doing it. Thank you. Why didn't you do this 3 weeks ago? Why didn't you do this 3 years ago? Now, maybe you don't relate to that, but I have said that to God a whole bunch of times. God, why am I waiting on this? And here's something I want you to see with Joseph that applies to us, is that sometimes we're waiting because God wants us to learn something. You know, I think part of the struggle that Joseph went through made it all the more real, God's grace. And I believe here that experiencing Christmas involves giving and receiving God's grace. And Joseph needed to learn how much God really loved him, so much that an angel would appear to him. But he had to go through all the mental gymnastics and the heart-stopping moments and all that he went through. Then finally an angel appeared and said, Joseph, it's going to be okay. I want to encourage you. You know, I don't know God's time on stuff. I would love to be able to offer you, this is how long this is going to last, this is how long it's going to take. But here's what I know. God's grace is there. Here's what I know. Be patient. Be patient. Don't give up on yourself. And don't give up on God. And don't give up on the people around you. Here's what I've learned. Until you breathe your last breath, don't give up. See, that's what Tzedakah is about. Being righteous means having grace. The message is, it's not about living the right way, doing all the right things, behaving a certain way. Tzedakah and righteousness is about understanding the grace of God and realizing what God can do. Give some amen to that. Now, when we think about that, it just kind of connects right away to Mary's experience and experiencing Christmas as giving and receiving God's love and acceptance. I mean, I love the fact we're talking about three things: grace, love, and acceptance. Say that with me. Grace, love, acceptance. What a great way to move into your Christmas season. Grace, love, and acceptance. And what we have here is this amazing thing that God is now doing in two individuals, kind of all at the same time, Mary and Joseph. So we've looked at Joseph. Now let's think about Mary here. And Mary has this, you know, the virgin's name was Mary. Now, that's critical information. If you're new in the faith, you need to understand the virgin birth is absolutely essential to our understanding of what's taking place. You have to understand that the Son of God, I want you to hear this, the Son of God was the Son of God before conception. He didn't become the Son of God at the moment of conception. I had this conversation with someone who was trying to suggest, well, he became the Son of God later on, like it was assigned to him, like a position or a job description that took place following his birth and conception. I said, no, you understand, Jesus always was. And he still was. It wasn't something that happened. It never happened. It always was. Man, that's kind of mind-blowing. But that's something you got to realize, that the whole miracle of the virgin birth is critical. There's a lot that we can say about it, but I want you to understand that that is not an accident. That is something that is clearly given to us to speak to the miracle. Now, having come in, the angel said to her, "Man, don't you love God's angels?" Man, Joseph gets an angel, Mary gets an angel. I'm wondering where Steve's angel is, right? I'm ready for one. And the angel comes in and says, but rejoice, highly favored one. Man, this is an awesome day for you. Man, the Lord's with you. Blessed are you among women. You're pregnant. Right? And we're all, and poor, I mean, Mary, she's going, huh? this is like crazy at this moment. And you begin to think about what is being said to her. A miracle is about to happen, Mary. And I know you're not going to totally understand it, but I want you to know how much God loves you. And what I like about the fact is we know the whole story. Eventually, she's going to get it, right? So we all relax about it. But can you imagine being there at that moment? Can you imagine you don't know the end of the story? Don't we live life that way, where we're still on chapter 1, 2, or 3, and there's still 20 chapters in front of us? You know how it is. You want to get, how is this going to work out? And you don't know. And that can be very challenging, being patient, waiting, learning love and the acceptance that God has for us, and learning to love and accept yourself. Oh, I love that. Now, the Lord helps her by declaring something and says, rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord's with you. Have you ever thought about what that means, highly favored one? Of course, the idea of that is, well, yeah, of course she's highly favored. She's about to be the mother of God's only begotten Son. I would say that's pretty being highly favored. Can you see a minute of that? I mean, that's only going to happen once in the universe in all time, and here it is. And I would say that's kind of way up there. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, of all the things that could happen, this is like number one. Is there anything higher than number one? It's above that, right? This is crazy. But what I find interesting is that he is saying something, the angel is declaring something very special to Mary. Man, you're this amazing woman. You've been chosen by God. Even though no one would think that you would be the one to be chosen by God. Because we all know about Mary, young, poor, not from a fancy family, no status, none of the things that you would expect, right? And God chose her. I mean, you and I have got to realize, never limit God's choices. I know it might be interesting, but God could choose you for, not that, but for something else. Give some into that. But the reality is, God might use you in a way that you have not even thought of. Now, here's Mary, and God says, but you're a favored one. Now, we often think that that's assigned only to Mary. Here's the crazy part. Here's good news I have for you. What is being said to Mary is also being said to us. In other words, you're highly favored. In Ephesians, and you can look at this more later on, but if you look at let me give you the reference here. In Ephesians 1:6, it declares to us that the same word that's used right here, highly favored one, is also used in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6, as it speaks to you and I, declaring you and I are also highly favored ones. Does that make sense to you? So you need to kind of let this settle in. The very unbelievable, unique, special nature of Mary to be the mother, to be the vessel that would bring about life of Jesus, the Messiah, that unique privilege and being chosen was not just for Mary. God's word is saying, but you too are highly favored. That's how God thinks about you. Every now and then, I think it's important to remind ourselves of how much God loves and accepts us. Because there may be some moments when you don't feel very good about you. I've had a few moments like that. I'm probably the only one in this room probably ever has those feelings. But, you know, every now and then you don't feel like, well, what's going on? Lord, life, everything's kind of coming at you. A lot of things are happening. And then God somehow says, but you know what? I love you. I love the fact he says, Stephen, I love you. And not because you're Pastor Steve, not because of anything, but because you are my creation. I love you, just like everybody else. And I can't tell how comforting that is. I am reminded again that God just, I have this amazing relationship with Jesus. And he accepts me in my imperfection. Now, I realize I'm probably the only one here imperfect. But the reality is he accepts us just for who we are. Now, the good news, he doesn't leave us where we are. I'm so thankful that he keeps working on us, especially some of us, right? It's exciting. Yeah, amen. But will you connect to the fact this Christmas that the same word spoken to Mary is the same word God speaks to you? It's as if Mary, she's hearing this word from the angel. I am giving you a message from the Lord. You are highly favored. You are loved and accepted in the same way that Mary was loved and accepted. Certainly a different moment, a different situation. But as bad, as crummy, as awful, as overwhelming, as whatever you think that's going on with you right now, I want you to receive this from the Lord. You are loved and accepted by Jesus. And you know what? For whatever's happened, tomorrow is a new day. His mercies are new every single morning. Amen. Amen. That is an amazing gift. That's experiencing Christmas. I love the fact that Mary, of course, is wondering about how this can be and what's going on, and she gets it. And you begin to think what the struggle is, and literally by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, you got to realize at the time that in the Jewish understanding of the Holy Spirit, this was a big deal. Because here's, and the reason was, I want you to understand in the culture of it, and also in the Word of God, they were taught this, that truth comes by way of what? The Holy Spirit. So here's the deal. The Holy Spirit is being revealed to Mary and speaking truth to her. One of the reasons that this is received so well is because she'd been raised from day one that it's by the Holy Spirit that we receive truth. And the Holy Spirit does a creative and a recreative work in people. In other words, it's the Holy Spirit's job to create. And the Holy Spirit's job to recreate. The reason why there's hope for you is because you have the Holy Spirit. When you believe and receive in Jesus, you have this amazing presence and the gift of the Holy Spirit that then can recreate in you something brand new. And on top of that, you're highly favored. So when Mary's hearing all this, this wasn't that weird because she was taught all of this stuff. She knew this. And the angel was addressing directly to the culture and teaching of the time. Now, we may not realize it, but she totally connected to the reality. And that's why it's so important. That's why you hear repeatedly, it's by the way of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit. And as she was hearing that, she's going, because it could have said, well, you know, Mary, according to the prophetic word that was spoken of in Isaiah, you are now, this is happening. That would not have been as powerful as she was hearing, and it was just echoing inside of her head and heart. The Holy Spirit is doing this. And so that was a very important moment for her to understand the importance of her love and her acceptance that she would receive because of what's about to take place. The Lord is always faithful to his promises and commitments. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He'll reign over the house of Jacob forever. I mean, all this stuff is like, this is music to Mary's ear. She's going, I heard this before. I've heard this somewhere. I mean, this is what I've studied. I've learned. I've been taught this. And he'll reign over the house of Jacob, and his kingdom there'll be no end. Therefore, also, that the Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. And all of a sudden, everything that God has spoken of is happening. Listen, when God gives us his word and a promise, he's faithful to keep it. Can you say amen to that? The problem is, again, timing. I know we all want it yesterday. You know, I think that's part of understanding love and acceptance and remembering, God, you do love and accept me, even though you're not doing this for me right away. Experiencing Christmas is experiencing the impossible. You know, I love the fact that as Mary is going through all this, we read in verse 36 and 37, it says, you remember the story of Elizabeth. We talked about Elizabeth. We already experienced Christmas with her. And your relative has also conceived a son in her own age. Not the same way, though, right? Quick review. They had it, you know, it was kind of abnormal because you remember her husband and her, they were a little bit up there in age. They were mature adults. And so they had this child that no one thought they could have, but they conceived in the way that we would think, obviously, of how conception takes place. And that's why it says conceived a son in her old age, emphasis. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. And then she says, for with God nothing will be impossible. I really believe experiencing Christmas is experiencing the impossible. I mean, think about what maybe can or can't happen. I like the Amplified version. Same passage, verse 37. For with God nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Can you say amen to that? So when God speaks a word, and you got to first of all discern, it is God's word. When God speaks a word, and that's the tricky part, I've run into this a few times. Some people come and want to say, I have God's word from you, for you, right? You hear that? Be careful. Can I just encourage you, be careful with that stuff? I'm not saying it isn't, but it should always measure and line up with the word of God. That's the Bible. Those are the words we have. God will not ever say anything that doesn't align with that. Now, if that all comes together, we've got an amazing promise here. And I like the Oxford Bible translated, for no word of God is without power. So here's the deal. When God speaks a word, there's power behind it. There's Holy Spirit power. When God speaks a word, when he says he's going to work in this way as he has had repeatedly in the Word of God, you should know there is power behind it. It is not the requirement that we somehow produce the right marketing strategy, PR, and communication kinds of stuff. God's Word doesn't really require that. God's Word is spoken of and comes about because of the power behind it. Amen. Word says from power from on high. So you and I can really trust that and understand that that's how this stuff works. And of course, I want you and I to be like Mary. Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be according to what? Your word. That's critical. And then the angel departed from her. That was it. We're done. Let's move on. Where do you need to say to Jesus, all right, let it be according to your word, God. We're done. Let's move on. Here I am. I'm waiting. Make it happen. Maybe it's something, let it be according to your word, God, and you're still waiting, but you're still going, okay, God, I'm good. It's going to happen. I just got to trust you now. Yep, you know that. This is real. That's what's experiencing Christmas, experiencing the impossible, saying, God, I'm good. I trust you according to your power. Your word is always with power. Always. Can you say amen to that?
Thank you for listening. To learn more about us, visit our website at www.aofc.us or download our app. We hope that you will join us every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m.